I'm reading from Second Corinthians, chapter 3. I'm reading from the New King James Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, from verse 12 to verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3. Sorry, this. 2 Corinthians 3, 12 to 18. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies in their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. I would be great if at school, in maths, we would have to learn only the 10 times table. And you master that, and that's it, you know everything. Mm-hmm. It would certainly be easy, but would it really be that great? Wouldn't you, after a while, become curious about what comes after 10? What about 11? Shall we go there and stay at 10? What about 100? 1,000? 1,000,000? And so forth. Mathematics is the only science that deals with infinity. It can keep going on and on forever without, there's no end to it. And then we think about our spiritual experience. Shall we here also stick with 10? Or shall we move further? Moses gave us the 10 commandments, and they're all good and right and correct, Paul says. Just like the 10 times table. But is that the end of our spiritual experience and spiritual growth? You are aware that in some of the more traditional cultures, people veil their faces, women mainly. And Paul tells us that Moses veiled his face so that his people would not be able to see the full picture, or, as Paul says, the end of what was passing away. There was more that Moses brought back from the mountain than the commandments written on stone. He also brought with him the reflection of the glory of God on his face. But the people at this point could not cope even with the 10 commandments. How are you going to cope with geometry, trigonometry, other things if you can't cope with 10 times table? So he veiled his face, that people could not see the reflection of the glory of God. Even more than 1,000 years later, Paul said that in his day, he said, even now, the veil remains when the Old Testament or the Word of God is being read. Why? Because the only way to remove the veil, to do away with it, is through Christ. It's taken away in Christ. And John said something similar in his gospel. In the first chapter, he says, Moses gave us the law, But Christ brought grace and truth and revealed to us the glory of the Lord. This word glory, a key word, he revealed to us the glory of the Lord. Moses hid it, but Christ revealed it. Read again if I can go back to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I read verses 14 to 16. Second Corinthians, same chapter. Chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. But their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies in their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. How do we know? How do I know? How do you know? If our eyes, hearts, and minds are veiled or not? How do we know? I don't know. But what I know is that in turning to Christ, the veil is taken away. So whether we know or not that the veil is there or not, it doesn't matter. There is only one way to make sure that the veil is not there, and that is by turning to Christ. That is what Paul is saying. And this is a different ballgame now. It opens so many possibilities for us. We have moved past number 10, and the question is, how far can we go? 100? 1,000? 1 million? More? Verse 17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. This liberty this is not a natural earthly liberty. We usually see those people who are liberated in due time become like those who used to oppress them. This liberty Paul is talking about is not from below, it's from above. It's not from earth, it's from heaven. It's not natural, it's supernatural. It is a gift from heaven. It allows us to see the face of God with unveiled faces. That's what he's saying. To see the face of God with unveiled faces. And it allows us to see something new. That we can reflect and that we can become. And this liberty is possible only if we have a strong and deep relationship with God. Otherwise, we'll end up in one of the two extremes. We either end up in slavery or law enforcement, and we are back to square one, back to the land of Egypt. So you either end up in slavery, which is one extreme, or we end up in law enforcement, which is the other extreme. We don't want to be moving back, we want to be moving forward. And the way forward, very clearly for Paul is, this is the way forward, okay, verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. From glory to glory. This is a wonderful statement. It's quite incredible. What he's saying is, as we turn to Christ, we become like a mirror, reflecting the glory of the Lord. And not only reflecting, but being transformed into his image from glory to glory. And this is the way he describes it, it's a dynamic process. And we may think that this process will be complete at the end of this life. But Paul does not put a stop there. He does not mention the end or the conclusion to this process at all. He says, from glory to glory. From glory to glory. From glory to glory. Because once this life ends, on the new earth, we shall still be beholding Christ. And therefore, we will continue from glory to glory. And in the concluding page, the last page of the book, The Great Controversy, Ellen White makes similar statement, saying that we will continue to learn and grow in knowledge, grace, and truth, without and throughout eternity. And still there will arise new heights to surmount, new wonders to admire, new truths to comprehend, new truths to learn in eternity. And the years of eternity, as they roll, will bring richer and still more glorious revelations of God and of Christ. As knowledge is progressive, so will love, reverence, and happiness increase. So what do we say? We live a few decades in this world, being believers, and we think, well, we have reached it here and now. And what do we declare? We say, I am love. Yeah. You wouldn't say that out loud if your household members are next to you, because they know you pretty well, don't you? We will continue to be more and more like God throughout eternity. It is a progressive, never-ending process. It is not something that is accomplished at the end of this earthly life. It stretches into infinity. If you find this difficult to comprehend, don't worry, it's impossible to comprehend. Just like the video that you watched of the universe. You can't see no end to it. And though we may not comprehend it, it's there, it's real, and it's true. Only now it makes some sense, that the universe that appears to be limitless, as we've just seen, whose end we cannot see. Deep into eternity, we will still see no end. We will still have new truths to learn, and we will still be continually transforming into the likeness of our Creator and Redeemer, from glory to glory. And if you think you may get bored, some of us may be worried about that. Some of us are very active and inquisitive. If you think you're going to get bored after, 1,000 years, is 10,000 years, as the Amazing Grace is? Never mind 10,000 years, that's not long. What about 900 billion years? It's a bit more, isn't it? 900 billion years. Will you get bored after that? Can you see the end to that universe? Don't worry about it, you will not get bored. This is God's plan for us. This has always been God's plan for us from the beginning. Eternity. Right now things are broken, but very soon God will restore His order and His will and His plan. And we will embark on that everlasting journey. Never-ending adventure, which will not require any risk assessments, because there will be no risks involved ever again. This is God's plan for us. It has been from the very beginning. As we walk with Him, as we behold in His face, that we will be continually ever-changing from glory to glory, into His image, into His likeness. It's an incredible, incredible promise of the journey that He is taking us on through Christ into eternity. We do struggle to look back. If we think back, we cannot think of the beginning or eternity. We just raise your head, but forward, we could sort of leave the idea of living forever. This has been his plan from the very beginning for us, that we are with him and through him, that we continue to learn and grow and into eternity and will never stop. So may God bless us as we make sure that we continue to walk with him and continue on this journey and continue to behold God through Christ each day. God bless you.
Amen.